Welcome into Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM and AM 620 WTRP in LaGrange. JJ Jackson inside the studio with Brooks Childress and Ryan LaVoy. Day off for our guy, Trevon Reed. He'll be back with us later in the week. But if you want to be a part of the show, call us a little bit later, because right now we got to go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a weekly friend of the program, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, kind enough to chat with us here on today's show. What's going on, Ferg?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
We can't complain. Let's start off with some fun topics here. Tennessee, McDonald's, money in bags. Man, this is a crazy story that's happening. Is this real?
Well, I think it's very much real that Tennessee was dealing with some recruiting violations, and I think it seems very obvious that Tennessee was willing to dime out Jeremy Pruitt and throw everybody under the bus to make sure they don't pay him as much in the process. The McDonald's thing and the story, I tweeted earlier today, I became completely unaware of the moment when Dan Patrick started breaking story news about SEC football. So I'm a little skeptical about that angle. But yeah, I mean, you could pretty much tell me anything that happened at Tennessee to get to this point, and I wouldn't immediately rule it out. Though it's a crazy place. It's a place that's been really desperate to get back to what it used to be, and desperate times, desperate measures, and it still didn't work. So they were willing to do whatever it took to make sure they could get out of the Jeremy Pruitt deal.
Well, this story forced me to share something that I've shared before. That's my first job that I ever had, Ferg, was running the drive-through operations there at McDonald's. So, proud former member. I'm absolutely loving it. Did not know this was taking place. I was not in Knoxville, obviously.
Yeah,
at the
you
time.
Were not partaking.
But,
in it,
exactly. Ferg's first job was what?
Okay, so my first job.
I feel like I've heard this before from someone.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I've told the story before, and I definitely have said it on the podcast. So growing up, I worked for some friends of our family in high school, working at a pharmacy in town. I grew up in a small town in South Alabama. It was a pharmacy that was also a Radio Shack.
That was also
a bookstore. That was also a fabric store. And I didn't do much of the fabric in the bookstore part, but so I spent my high school days bagging prescriptions, running deliveries, and helping people find the right kind of cable to plug into their television. That was my first job.
I mean, that's just perfect. As soon as you started to tell the story, I was like, yes, I remember him saying this. But yeah. Still, the second time hearing this story, Ferg, how in the world do all of those things come into one place?
So when you're in a small town like I was, it was just there's not a whole lot of businesses there. And so there's not a whole lot of space there, period. So, I mean, instead of saying, all right, well, here's the pharmacy, or here's the Radio Shack, here's all the things, it's a small town, and a forward-thinking business owner could come in and say, we'll just do all this stuff. You don't have to drive, 20, 30 minutes to go, get the stuff for your cell phone or something like that. We'll just start selling it here. And so it was just bits and pieces. It grows like that. To my knowledge, it's still ticking pretty well down there. Still doing the same kind of stuff it was when I was in high school. Radio Shack doesn't exist anymore, but they had a bunch of other kind of stuff, easy, cheap stuff like that. I learned way too much about cables and stuff like that when I was in high school. That was my gift to the world, I guess.
That's unbelievable. It's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. He's joining us on the program. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JFergusonAU. We'll continue asking some fun sports topics before we get into the nitty-gritty with Auburn Athletics. Ferg, your biggest takeaway from divisional round playoffs in the NFL this past weekend, what was it? Give us one.
I am really, really fascinating with this Buffalo Bills team. If you listen to our podcast, Painter.
You're brainwashed.
Big Buffalo Bills. Yeah, Bills fan, so I've gotten on board with it. It's so remarkable to me, and we saw a little bit of it in the game. But the fact that Josh Allen has never been an accurate quarterback in his life, they've gone back all the way to his junior high school numbers. He's never been an accurate quarterback ever. And then he just turned into like John Wick this season and is just hitting people just all over the place. Now having Steph Diggs help them as well. And this team, like, just they're really fascinating to watch. And like the crazy thing about the Bills is like they could still get a lot better. They don't have a great run defense. You know, they don't really have a running game at all. And they could use another, you know, kind of go-to receiver to help out Stephon Diggs. And they're playing in the AFC Championship game this weekend. So that team is pretty, pretty remarkable. If Mahomes isn't 100% or whatever's going on there with the Chiefs, they'll have a real chance to pull that one off and maybe the Super Bowl. The NFC side, I guess, you know, I mean, the Packers, you can just kind of just let them roll. I'm still not sold on this Buccaneers team for a number of reasons, but they came up with the big plays on the defensive end, which I think is going to give them a really good shot to possibly knock off Green Bay this weekend.
Loyal Buccaneers fan here, Justin.
Okay.
Even through the dark ages of insert 87 quarterbacks since Brad Johnson here. I agree that it feels like the team wins in a different way each week, which can be good at times. But my biggest thing when I look at the Bucs Packers, and Tampa did overcome this in 02 when they won the Super Bowl because they went to Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game and won. Is the cold weather. It's going to be, you know, you don't get the full brunt of 70,000 fans at Lambeau, but it's going to be mid-20s and chance of snow showers. And when Tom Brady's always saying, yeah, I feel like my blood's already thinned out and I've kind of moved on from living in cold weather, it's like that's the one glimmer of hope you might have of, okay, Tampa's going to adjust to it okay because they've got a guy that's, you know, partly started his career in the snow. That feels like the most practical home field advantage that maybe exists in the entirety of the postseason is the cold weather of Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about Brady because that's really interesting because, you know, I have friends who have moved down here from, you know, from all over the place, and I think you asked Josh Vitale, he's one of them as well. He grew up in Connecticut. You stay down in the South long enough, you do start to hate cold weather, even if you grew up in it and like been around it. And so Brady spending all this time in Tampa, you know, it's gonna be interesting with that kind of adjustment. I will say though, there's probably not another quarterback in football that you would trust more if he just needs to revert to, hey, play a good game in the cold weather than Brady. So, you know, a little forward thinking there by Tampa Bay.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us here on today's program. Ferg, we continue to have fun with you before we get to the Auburn things that take place. We mentioned last week we had a head-to-head fantasy basketball matchup against one another. And listen, I think the postponements throughout the week came back to hurt you a little bit, my friend.
Postponements, and then like I had a stretch over the weekend where like all the guys that were playing for me, like half of them like just came down with injuries out of nowhere. Like so, I was just like, oh yeah, he's not playing. Oh, he's not. No, he's not playing. So you know, it's tough. We're gonna battle through it. Gonna come out on the other side. But
it was just your first loss of the year. I just want to Ferg and I are now 3-1 in the league. Very competitive. Two of the top teams in the league. I wasn't trying to boast, Ferg. I just wanted to bring to light what had happened.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel good about my team. I would love for my guys to get healthy again, but you know, we're finding some value on the waiver wire, and we're still getting a lot of good points from Anthony Davis, and then of course Shaquille Alexander has been my MVP so far this year.
Is this safe to say that this is the second time that it's been fun with Ferg, and then it's something that's not fun for Ferg? Like, is JJ, you doing?
So he calls the segment this every week, and then every now and then there's like a time where I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm enjoying this part. But no, you know, we've been through it. I had a really good year in fantasy football this year. I won a league for the first time and came in second in another league. So we're just gonna stay the course in basketball, and hopefully that it'll continue.
I believe in you in the end, Ferg. So let's talk one more fun thing, and then we will get to Auburn things. What is fun is Steph Curry hitting a shot and Anthony Davis eye hole last night to go up 5 with a minute left. We joked on the program, if not last week, the week before, Kelly Oubre, stop shooting, for the love of God, please stop. He did not stop. He has played a much better week or so. So here we are, I guess, Ferg, we should just kind of do another dance and say, oh, we wish Kelly would stop shooting the ball so that he'll start making them some more?
I mean, he played. He was the reason you won the game last night against the Lakers. Like, he played exceptionally well, and that bench played well. I mean, this is a game where Steph didn't really have his shot a ton until the fourth quarter. Draymond didn't play a particularly good game, throughout the night. Wiseman's kind of going through it at this point, kind of hitting a little bit of a rookie wall, I think. And you still beat the Lakers, and came back to beat the Lakers. I think the bench played really, really well. The fact that Wiggins continues to be a guy that gives you some good run. And then, you just needed Kelly Oubre to, like, just not be a net negative for you, and you still have an opportunity to win that game. So, I don't know if it was my criticism or everybody else's criticism of Kelly Oubre that got him into shape, but I'm going to keep saying this. You know, Kelly Oubre needs to stop shooting quite as much, and maybe he'll be a more efficient player.
Because it's as you said, Ferg. Folks can follow you on Twitter at JFergusonAU. Justin tweeted last night, never doubted Kelly Oubre. No, sir, not me. More great content like that by following Justin on Twitter. Let's get to Auburn. How does Auburn beat Arkansas tomorrow, Ferg? What's that formula look like?
Man, they've got to play really good defense, because this Arkansas team right now has just been very inconsistent on that end of the floor. They've lost four out of their last five since beating Auburn. They still got a lot of really good players, and they're really good scorers. They're playing at home, which they've been a better team at this year. If you think about back to when Auburn hung with Arkansas that first matchup, they shot really well in that game. They just couldn't play any defense, and so now in this matchup, how much better have you gotten on the defensive end? It's the reason why you beat Kentucky. Rebounding was the reason why you beat Kentucky. You're going to have to do both of those things, and I think you're going to have a grinded out kind of win, because it's hard for me to think you're going to go in there as good as Sharif Cooper's been playing, as good as your offense has been with him on the floor. You're not going to go in there and light it up by Walton. That just doesn't happen for pretty much anybody, but especially Auburn. They've had a long, long track record of struggling there. So I think for Auburn, it's just like your best chance is Arkansas still inconsistent, not hitting their shots, not finding well, and you're having to play that kind of grinded-out defensive game. I think it's going to have to look a lot like the Kentucky game for Auburn to have a chance of winning it.
Justin, 1 week into the Sharif Cooper era with Auburn basketball, what is your biggest takeaway of how this team has improved?
Well, I mean, it's just the thing with him is, Bruce said it today, it's like Auburn was playing football without a quarterback for a while. It's kind of the same concept with Sharif Cooper. He's so good, and he is a special kind of good, because he makes everybody else around him better, and his main game is to create for others. He can score, and he can get to the rim, and even though his shot isn't the prettiest looking one in the world, and he struggled from outside to start his career, he can score at all levels. But the thing that makes him so special is that he creates. He's instant offense. He makes defenses really, really kind of panic when he gets going. And Auburn's got a lot of weapons around him that have been kind of fully unleashed with it. And that's the thing with Sharif Cooper that's fascinating to me, because this is a dude who was a five-star point guard coming out of high school. He was a National Player of the Year, and he doesn't have an NBA type of body. He is 6 feet tall. He's not blazing fast. He doesn't have a crazy high vertical. He's just really, really good at playing basketball and making his teammates better, and that's why he's one of the best point guards in the country at the moment, and I think Auburn's continuing to benefit from that. A lot of people are saying, who does he – a lot of people remind him of. I mean, he looks to me – you know, last week we were talking about how, like, Pascal Siakam and the JT Thor comparison. Somebody had it on Twitter the other day. They were asking, like, is there going to ever be another point guard quite like Chris Paul? And I think Sharif Cooper might be the closest thing to it, just because he is still kind of old school in the way he just makes everybody else around him better. You don't get that a ton, especially in this day and age of point guards that could be 6'5 or taller and, you know, be super physical freaks or outstanding shooters from every area of the floor. Cooper's a different kind of guy, and he's the type of guy that makes a basketball team better and not just his own stats.
Justin, I asked this to Brian Matthews earlier, and I'll ask it to you because you kind of talked a little bit about it. It's clear that a point guard's role, like Sharif Cooper, on top of obviously the scoring that he provides and the sheer numbers of assists, as you said, he makes people better. Who do you think on this Auburn team, and it can be multiple guys, benefit the most from Sharif Cooper's presence?
I go back and forth between two of them, and one of them I wrote about today. It was JT Thor at the Observer, because Thor's numbers have exploded in SEC play. He is one of the best players Auburn has on either end of the floor. And he's the perfect fit next to Shreve Cooper because now he doesn't have to create a shot as much. He can you know, be a menace on lobs, kick out passes from Cooper for three. He does a lot of that kind of stuff really well, and he doesn't have to create as much. But I think the guy who has benefited the most from him being out there is Alan Flanagan, because now Alan Flanagan doesn't have to play point guard nearly as much, and he can concentrate on being what he is as a player, which is a really physical, grinded-out kind of wing who has the confidence to get in rhythm and has become a much better shooter this season. You don't have to worry about that with him, where he doesn't have to concentrate on running the offense. Now, he has to do it a little bit when Cooper's out of the game, but when Cooper and Flanagan are on the floor together, it is really, really high-efficiency basketball for Auburn right now. And I think it's just Flanagan not having to take that stuff on it, not having to add onto his plate and be a point guard. It's him getting to play his natural position and his natural role, and he has thrived in it. So Thor statistically has benefited the most from Cooper being out there, but I think Flanagan, if you just look at the eye test and how he has been in play, I think Flanagan might be the guy who's benefited the most from having Shreve Cooper out there.
Auburn basketball back in action tomorrow night against Arkansas. After the game, Justin Ferguson has observations that he can send to you, a part of the Auburn Observer, which has great content all throughout the week. We're going to save that Harsin and Bobo film room for the next time we've got Trevon in studio, Ferg. I think that makes for a great conversation. I want folks to go to auburnobserver.com/about, because here you find out what is auburnobserver.com. Hello, I'm Justin Ferguson. I've covered Auburn sports in some fashion every year since I was a junior in college in 2013. I previously wrote about Auburn for The Athletic, SEC Country, Bleacher Report, and the Auburn Plainsman. I'd like to keep writing about the Tigers for a living, which brings us to the Auburn Observer for $6 a month or $60 a year. You sell it great, Ferg. So now all you got to do is just tell us what folks can find there this week.
Yeah, you mentioned the Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo film room, and I hate that Trevon wasn't here today, but I'm looking forward to talking to him about it down the road. I did a film room. There was my buddy Dan Peck pointed this out to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, hey, one time Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo squared off against each other at Boise State and Colorado State, and it was a shootout for the ages. It was one of the best games he had remembered watching from that 2017 season. It was the night Auburn beat Georgia so badly and Jordan Hare. And so I went back and watched the game and kind of just charted as much as I could and learned as much as I could about these two guys' offenses. So you can check that out and kind of where that those guys could bring those influences into Auburn. That up there, I got that story on JT Thor up this morning. Tomorrow I got a story more about Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo and how specifically relate to Bo Nix and their track records as quarterback developers. Got that coming out. Like you said earlier, observations, a lot of basketball coverage coming out. We got a podcast coming on Thursday that we'll talk about the Arkansas game and a lot more with football. Melbourne Friday, we got something pretty much every day. So auburnobserver.com. Like JJ said, $6 a month, $60 a year. Sign it up, and everything we do gets emailed straight into your inbox. You don't have to worry about going to a website or clicking on a link on Twitter. It'll go right to you.
Absolutely love it. Always do appreciate your time, Ferg. You're one of our favorites, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Absolutely. See y'all next week.